Well, good morning, Tom Moulton. I am the director of the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance, and we're back for another wonderful show today, and we're going to have some special guests from the Tucson Rodeo Parade. Hello there, Russ. How are you? Hey, Russ is just coming into the studio, and we're going to talk about the 100th anniversary of the Tucson Rodeo Parade. And I have to tell you, some of us have been here a long time. Some of us grew up here, and I've been here since, 1997. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning. Sorry I'm running behind.
That's okay. Put that microphone right there. And we're really excited to have you here. And we've had a couple of changes, to our guest structure for one reason or another. But Russ is the chair of the Tucson Rodeo Parade. And we're going to learn a lot about you, Russ, in just a few moments. But I wanted to let everybody know, again, the Tucson Jazz Festival is still going on until the 25th, so there's still plenty to see and do and hear with the Tucson Jazz Festival. Just go to TucsonJazzFestival.org, and you can learn about all the shows that are left. I think Sheila E. is still available, so she's been around for a long time and very popular with Tucson Jazz, but also I think she has a little country and a little pop in her, Russ, so have you had a chance to listen to her music?
Not recently. I remember her stuff from the 80s and 90s as a percussionist.
Yes, so she's still performing, which is kind of super, but Russ, thank you again for coming over. And usually the first segment, you may recall, Russ was here last year when we were talking about the 99th. Of course, we were all excited about that. And of course, now with the 100th anniversary of the parade that's been around, obviously, we're saying, in Tucson for 100 years. A lot of changes have taken place, but there's a lot of things that are still the same. So, Russ, before we do that, let's a little bit about your background here in Tucson, and then, of course, how you made it to the chair position.
Certainly. I'm a native. I was born and raised in Tucson, attended school here. My father, who was a 61-year member of this committee, for as long as I can remember, I've been hanging around the rodeo grounds with him. When I turned about 30, I decided I wanted an interest in this, so I started coming out, and I became a member when I was about 33, and that's been almost 34 years ago now.
Wow.
So, you go through a process of being voted in as a committee member, and I went through that whole process. And about in 2006, I ran for chairman. I'd been on the board numerous times, and I became chairman in 2007 through 2009. And I served that tenure and then served in very various positions. I ran operations, the Grand Marshal Selection Committee, a number of things. And when we came up to the 100, they asked me to run again, some of the past chairmen. So I reluctantly, I said, okay, I'll do it.
Well, yeah, this is what happens with established organizations. Sometimes you get, recycled.
Exactly.
Is that the right word? I'm not sure.
That is.
But certainly there's an opportunity, I think, to have that level of expertise and continuity, because while it may, when you're watching the parade, it may seem seamless, there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes.
There absolutely is.
And a lot of safety goes into every parade. It's grown over the years, hasn't it?
It has. I mean, the experience of it has definitely grown from when it first started. Honestly, when it first started, it had more entries, but it was a different parade back then as well.
Right. This one was when it was downtown?
Yes.
And so how many entries then when you recall typically when it was downtown?
The initial parade was 300 entries.
Wow. And same kind, or what? Is there some industry or something that you don't see anymore in the parade?
Absolutely. So back in the day, you were in the transition between horse-drawn wagons and horseless carriages. So there were a number of automobiles back in that day that went through the parade as well.
Okay.
The rodeo participants were required to go through the parade, and then there was various other entries that went through the parade.
So somewhere along the line then, automobiles were outlawed.
Yes.
If we can keep the Western genre here.
Exactly.
And, and it became, if not the, but one of, if you talk about the world globally, but certainly in the United States, it still continues to be the largest non-motorized parade?
Yes. We still advertise that. Nobody has disputed that. In the world, there is a parade that goes for 3 days somewhere in Asia that has elephants and everything else in it, but we can't compete with that one.
Now, I don't think elephants are probably in your criteria.
No.
Just, or llamas or anything like
that.
But
we've had camels.
Oh, you have camels. Are camels still allowed?
Or we haven't had any in recent years, but there have been camels in the parade.
We're not encouraging camels to take the place of horses. Finding horses, though, as I understand, you've been very successful, but it is, you know, the fact that as less and less of horses are used for, you know, let's say work, used for more pleasure and
right.
historical rides, they're getting a little bit harder to find, the ones that are trained to pull wagons.
We actually have a very good contractor that we solicit out of the Mesa area.
Okay.
Who manages this. He manages a variety of different groups that have ranches and farms, and they do this on a regular basis for events. So that's where we acquire all our horses for our wagons.
So you have a wonderful supply for years to come.
Yes.
And I have been the pleasure of being in the parade. I think Stan asked me this question not too long ago, and I said, it's got to be, since I've been in town since 1997, I started in the parade as the mayor of Old Tucson and got to ride a horse, which was interesting since, some folks don't ride horses all the time. So I got a lesson from, at that time, I can't remember. It was a Wrangler outfit out of Steam Pump Ranch.
Okay.
Which is in Oro Valley.
Right.
His name was Lloyd.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember Lloyd.
No, I do not.
But he was also the fellow that provided the horses for Old Tucson, because we had horseback riding
okay.
along Tucson Mountain Park
right.
and in that area. And so he took good care of the horses and took care of the customers that wanted to ride the... And horseback riding is still very popular. And Old Tucson... when it reopened, put a little bit of a hiatus on the trail rides, but I hope they do bring them back. But Colossal Cave still has horsebacks,
right?
And I think a gentleman by the name of Jesse, you remember
Jesse Bell?
Yeah, Jesse is still around.
Yes,
and he provides the horses for the wagon ride that they have at Old Tucson,
yes.
And there used to be a stagecoach ride there too. I hope they do bring that back, but it's the wagon rides are a favorite, especially during Christmas when they did a kind of a hayride type of
right. Jesse Bell contracts for us as well. We use him when we go out of town parades. He does our training with us on the rodeo grounds with our marshals. So he's a very capable horse contractor.
And I did notice that horseback. Well, it's you can't do horseback riding during. The Winterfest, you know, over there at Winter Haven.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. But there are now horse wagon rides that yeah. do the tour.
The hay rides.
Yeah, and it's a little bit, it's contracted, and, you know, and I think it was a safety concern that people were able to ride their own horses and
right.
you know, bring their own wagons or whatever. And then for a while, I think they even outlawed they had tractors pulling the wagons and stuff. So I was glad to see when we were talking about our all of our winter festivals this year that that they actually had those organized wagon rides back again. So that's the horse riding and wagons. If you want to see, you know, all kinds of wagons, right? All types of wagons.
Yes.
During the parade.
We have a variety of wagons from two-seat carriages all the way to freighters, stagecoaches, and flatbeds.
Well, we'll be back in just a few moments with the Tucson Rodeo Parade Committee Chair, Russell, and see you in a little bit. This is Tucson Jump In. Well, we're back. This is Jump In Tucson, and I was trying to put my cowboy hat on here with my headphones, but Russell, it just doesn't work, you know.
That almost looks like a Haas hat.
I bring out this hat once a year, has a little bit of a damage there. There may be a way to fix that, but I got this when I was in Santa Fe, and there's a hat maker there, and it's called Monte Cristi Custom Hat, and he was talking about Western tourism, and I came up and said some nice things apparently to him, and next thing I know, he's made me my custom hat here with my name in it and everything.
Wow,
and
that's beautiful.
You know, now he had me by the center band or the hat band. Now this hat band probably costs more than the hat, but it's a New Mexico kind of, you know, beads.
Right.
Very nice. I enjoy it. I bring out the hat, you know, once or twice a year, and certainly for the parade. I've had the opportunity I was talking about before we went on break with Russ. Now, Russ, Kretemeyer.
Yes, sir.
Russell is the chair, I guess, now the second time around.
This is my second time around. This is my second year.
Is it two-year term or one-year term?
It is a two-year term.
Two-year term. Okay. Stan was going to join us today. He is the chair of the Wagon and History Museum.
Yes.
Formerly the Tucson Rodeo Parade Museum. And he's a little bit under the weather, and so we wish him well to a speedy recovery.
Absolutely.
And so I've had an opportunity to work with Russell and Stan for a number of years. With the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance, we've always had a wagon pulled by a team of horses. And but before that, as the mayor of Old Tucson, or the general manager, they put me on a horse from Lloyd, as I mentioned, from Steam Pump Ranch. And it was quite interesting. He gave me lessons a little bit before. Now, I have ridden a horse in the countryside, but not on streets. And so you have to know a few little techniques just in case they go a little bit to the left or the right where you don't want them to go. And the good thing is that when you're in the parade with a float or a horse, the Tucson Rodeo Parade are out there on horseback, making sure everybody stays safe. So that's been a huge priority of the Tucson Rodeo Parade Committee, hasn't it?
It has been. From the inception, we have always had what are called horseback marshals en route.
Yes.
In the earlier days when the committee ran the whole thing, the committee was all on horseback managing the parade. In this day and age, we have over 300 volunteers, and a good chunk of those, 70 of those, are horseback marshals, and we rely on their expertise on the horses they own and being able to keep our parade safe.
Yes, and of course, I was in the full mayor outfit with the top hat and everything, and I remember one race I did lose my hat to to the wind, because sometimes the weather is absolutely beautiful, and sometimes it can be windy, because with 100 parades, there's been a whole, or 99 parades, there's been a whole slew of different kinds of weather. I remember one year, it must have been 20 degrees, and we're all huddled around the wagon, and we're waiting for, you know, our call to join the parade, and we probably have four layers of clothing on, and then we get halfway through the parade and we're taking them all off because the sun came out. Which is great.
Yes, it is.
You know, because it normally warms up in time for the parade, and you just never know in Tucson what the weather is going to be. But it doesn't really stop people from coming out, because I see thousands and thousands of people out there watching the parade.
Yes, it's a rain or shine event. No matter what the weather is, we're going to put the parade on as safely as possible. We've had snow, we've had rain, we've had a variety of everything. We had a year where we had brand new hats that were given to the committees prior to my time. They were brown hats, and it rained that year really hard. And by the time the end of the parade was over, everybody had brown dye running down their face from these hats because they're a little cheaper made.
Yeah, well, who knows where they came from? But I have to tell you, you look smart today in your blue Tucson Rodeo Parade Committee shirt. Now I understand
and bull tie.
And
state neckwear.
That's right.
Thank you.
Absolutely, I see that with a stagecoach on it, and Any history? And you want to tell us about the bow tie there, where it came from? Or
well, the bolo tie, as you become a member, you're eligible to. We purchase the bolo tie,
I mean, right?
But all the members go get the bolo tie. It's part of the our uniform with the stagecoach on it. Some of them have stones on them. Some of them don't. I chose not to.
Now, over the years, you've changed colors. What's the significance of the change of colors?
There's not a real significant, except for this year. We've gone over the 100 years. I mean, they've gone from white, red. We did gold for a while, and then we changed to white and went to blue. It's just a matter of just changing up how we look every year. Not every year, but every couple of years.
And I have to tell you, there's a picture on the website, and where all the committee members are there, and they're in their, I think the current one, they're all in blue.
It'll probably be red.
Or red. That's yes. Right. It was red. So you haven't taken one.
We
recently?
Have. It hasn't been published yet. This year we have special shirts that we have purchased. They have a 100-year logo on them. They're purple.
I know. I've seen them.
Purple is a color that's representative of 100 years, a royal color, and we thought they looked very nice. So that's what we're going with this year.
Now you have to go someplace this afternoon to wear the purple shirt. You told me.
I do this evening. Yes, we have our annual barn dance over at the Maverick this evening.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Is this the first time at the Maverick?
This is our second year there.
Okay. All righty. And our good friend Grant Kruger owns the Maverick, and he's on the Jump in Tucson show on Wednesdays,
okay.
Every Wednesday, and he talks about the restaurant industry. But he bought the Maverick from Jay Zucker.
Yep.
And second year live band?
The second year, Chauncey Jones, who played last year, is playing again this year. We had an amazing turnout. Last year we did it on Sunday. This year it's on a Thursday.
Well, I hope Stan feels better in time to. I know he'll be upset if he misses the barn dance.
I hope so, too, since he is our chairman-elect. He has a lot to learn before he gets into next year.
Yeah, he was on the air last year, and he serves the community very well. He was on the SAAA board for a number of years, and he came to us and he said, you know, this chair-elect thing and this chair is a lot of. Because they're all volunteers, all these folks that work on the committee, right?
Yes, we are.
And, you know, so there's a lot of work, and Stan likes to be involved in a little bit of everything. I did hear him say that he's going to turn over the Wagon and History Museum to another committee member.
Yes.
Because that's how much work is needed when you become the chair.
It is. I mean, each of us serves as a chair on a subcommittee of our committee. We have 18 subcommittees. So, for example, I was in the operations, which handles all the logistics for the parade. To some extent, I'm still involved with it. Stan will still be involved with the museum as he's chairman.
Well, you can't. How do you give it up? That's his baby.
You don't.
And there's been a lot of renovation done at the Wagon and History Museum besides the name change.
There has. We have the Burt Martin Foundation has been an amazing partner with us to help us bring our museum up into the 21st century and to renovations, and it's an amazing partnership we have with them.
Now, the gentleman that is your contact for that fund is
Chandler Warden.
And Chandler Warden is, you might remember that name. He's been very involved with his foundation, not only in the Wagon and History Museum and the parade, but also at Desert Museum. And he was also involved in the Rito horse racing, which we hope will come back in 2026. And just a huge community leader.
Yeah, he's involved with the Boys and Girls Clubs and the Fox Theater.
He has
a heart in this community.
Yeah, we're very fortunate to have them. Well, we'll be back with Russell, the chair of the Tucson Rodeo Parade. Coming up, we're going to learn a lot more about what's in store for the 100th anniversary of the Tucson Rodeo Parade. This is Jump in Tucson, and I'm Tom Moulton, and we'll be right back. Well, we're back and with Russell, the chair of the 100th anniversary of the Tucson Rodeo Parade. So, Russ, we got to put the date out because I don't think we've done that. When is the parade?
The parade is on February 20th. It kicks off at 9 a.m. at Drexel and 12th Avenue.
Yeah, and, you know, there's certainly, we should touch a little bit on the history of, we mentioned that the parade initially was downtown.
Yes.
And as the parade was obviously very large when it first started, but as the number of horses grew, no more automobiles, the noise level, the high rise of the buildings, I understand from last year when we had a chat, created a safety concern.
It absolutely did. I was researching this last year of our various routes we've done over the years and the reasons we moved. I mean, obviously the downtown streets were narrow at the time, so you have spectators, which narrows it down even further. And then as you get to high rises, you have reflective windows, which can be a distraction to the horses, seeing something on the side of them. And plus all the turns and everything downtown just made it a not conducive to putting on a parade. So in 1990, we decided to move it over off of Ajo and Park is where it began at, and which is direct right next to the rodeo grounds. We didn't have to haul wagons downtown like we used to.
Now, did the rodeo start at its current location, or were they somewhere else as well?
No, this all started from a gentleman named Frederick Leighton Kramer back in 1924. He was an avid polo. That was the sport of the day back then for ranches. So he wanted to promote Tucson, and there was a place called what's currently Kramer Field. This is where it was all derived from, was that area down there. I did the downtown parade. It ended up at the rodeo to put the rodeo on.
It was the beginning, yes, the kickoff of the rodeo week. And the kids, unusually, got a couple days off of school, didn't they, during the Tucson Rodeo Parade? And they still do.
They still do. To my knowledge, we're one of the only cities in the country that do this.
There's one more city.
Yeah.
Augusta, Georgia lets them off for the Masters Golf Tournament. And I remember that I lived 2 years. My father got relocated to a chemical plant, and he was a chemical engineer. And what a beautiful green, beautiful trees. And then we learned when we got there that we get 2 days off during the Masters Golf Tournament. So I'm 16, 17 years old, and we all got free tickets to the Master Golf Tournament as well through my father's company, and that's what we did. We enjoyed very early on getting to know Arnold Palmer and, you know, Jack Nicklaus, and my mother was just absolutely a queen, of the Arnie's Army.
Okay.
So thank you for that memory, that flashback. Nothing to do with the parade museum, but that came back. So we talked a little bit about the history. There is a new route for the parade that started last year.
Yes.
The good thing is you were able to find a little space for those folks that want to sit in the bleachers.
Yes.
And those are the special things that are going on during the 100th anniversary that maybe it could become, something goes on the 101, but what's some of the special things that are going on?
So we began planning the 100th 2 years ago, and our big event, that it already happened in November, we had a concert out at Ava Amphitheater with performers of a warm-up band named Runaway June,
mm-hmm.
with one of the singers is actually John Wayne's great-granddaughter.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And then the main event was Gary Allen, who is very well-known in the country industry. A very successful event for us. During the parade this year, we're going to have a parade of cars that represent every decade since the first inception of the parade, since 1925. So we'll represent every decade. They won't be part of the parade, so we're not infringing on our non-motorized parade. This will be pre-parade entertainment.
So this will be starting around...
That'll start probably about 8:45.
Okay.
And they'll go through the grandstand.
Now, are you working with the Tucson Auto Museum?
Yes.
The Franklin Museum?
The Auto Museum, yes. I'm not sure about Franklin.
Okay.
Stan could probably speak better to that, but he's in charge of that.
Right. So that, I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
So you heard it here on KVOI, 10:30 a.m., that there's going to be a parade of every vintage, or
no, just one vehicle per decade.
One per, well,
otherwise that would take up the whole 2 hours of the parade.
We would have a 3 hour parade, yeah. And the city of Tucson would just love that.
Yeah.
but they've been very, very helpful, I think, when the when the parade route had to change because of the railroad schedule.
Yes.
And I know there was a lot of discussion. And in a sense, last year was kind of the first parade. And you learned a lot of things during that. And but I'm glad to see that the bleachers are still there. And so those are special seats. Now, you can buy those in advance, I understand.
Yes, you can. They are on sale at our office. You go to www.TucsonRodeoParade.org.
And you can buy them right there.
Yes, you can.
You know, in advance. And that's what we... And then you have anything that goes on starting at 8 o'clock as well?
Yes, you can be there as early as you want. You'll need to be there by no later than 8:30 because the streets close.
Yeah, it's difficult to get around.
Yeah.
But Stan Martin, who's the incoming vice chair we talked about, has helped out on that pre-show for a number of years.
Yes.
And music... And folkloric dancing, and what other things go on during that pre?
This year we'll have the Navy in there performing.
Ah,
they came. They were here a couple years ago, and they came back this year for part of our pre-parade entertainment. My understanding, we just signed on Old Tucson to do a program for us as well.
Well, they have some, let's call them heritage conflicts that go on. And they're all dressed in certainly period costuming.
Uh-huh.
And as we all know, they're good friends of the radio show here. Tony, their general manager, has been here maybe 2 years now and fitting comfortably in. Sometimes there's wagons out there that I understand that you can see that are that kind of take them out of the museum and they put them on display at Old Tucson. So when you're out there, you want to get a really good sense of the 1880s.
Yes, we do have currently a wagon on loan to them. I'm not sure which one it is, but Stan dropped that off about 2 weeks ago out there. They'll have it for a good part of the year.
Yeah, I mean, we got a few minutes about these wagons that are in the parade. A lot of them are vintage wagons.
Most of them are. The flatbeds are usually stuff that we've built from carriages we've had, but you know, the stagecoaches, the carriages, all the farm wagons, the chuck wagons, they're all vintage.
Yeah, and when we say vintage, we mean some of them are the original, obviously renovated.
Yes.
To be safe on the roads. Don't know. And I asked, I kind of silly think I remember last year asked this question, that when they remodel a wagon from the 1880s, and I think you guys laughed, I remember, because the question, but I'll ask it again so you can laugh again. That's okay. Is that, do you put axles and ball bearings in there? And I think the answer was
no.
it's good old grease.
It is, and that is a big part of our preparation every year. Is that we go through the wagons and re-grease everything.
So this is not only the world's or the United States' only non-motorized parade, but it's also with vintage wagons from. I'm sure there's a few Ronstadt wagons in there.
There are Ronstadts, Brewsters. There's a variety of everything in there.
And did Studebaker make wagons too?
Yes.
Yeah, so there's Studebaker wagons in there. And is Wells Fargo back?
No, we do not have them back,
so
to
bad.
My knowledge.
Yeah, it's too bad. They have the famous stagecoach, and I think they've pared down, if I understand. And it's kind of what happened to the Clydesdale. There used to be, you know, four of them. Now there's two of them, two staples, and they can't be everywhere.
We tried to get the Clydesdales this year. It didn't work out with their scheduling.
No, I mean, they're doing so much more than what they used to do with paring them down.
Right.
They used to be also at all the amusement parks they used to own, Busch Gardens.
Right.
Where you could go and see the Clydesdale anytime you were at the park. And then, of course, sometimes they would leave. I think the fairground still is, during the April fair, does have connection still with Budweiser, so
okay.
Occasionally you can see them. Used to see them at the Rito Racetrack.
Yeah.
You know, so they're a famous horse. Now, the SAAA will be in a old TOSD school bus.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting. This was how the kids were picked up from their houses or their corners near their houses and got on a wagon, and they were carried to their school.
Yes.
And this wagon holds about little kids, probably maybe a dozen little kids and adults 6 to 8. And we've been in the parade with this particular wagon probably 3 or 4 years now. Mm-hmm. We had a different wagon with a cover on it. I don't remember, but it's still in the parade. And so we went from, and that particular wagon held a lot more people. So, but it was authentic. So the authenticity is very important to the parade committee.
It is. We have a variety of upper end coaches and carriages, but we also have utility wagons such as a school bus. We have a dairy wagon. We have a hearse, a baby hearse.
Yeah.
We have an ore wagon. We have a whole slew of the genre of wagons from that area, or how they were utilized.
And you can decorate your wagon. So your team called me and they said, well, you marked something here I don't think was probably going to be right for the school bus. So what do you think? And I asked her, well, tell me the other categories. I don't remember. She went through, you know, a number of different categories because they get judged,
right,
and get a trophy and stuff. And I said, how about colorful? Because the TUSD wagon school bus is not very colorful. I think it's black and brown. And so we're going to try. Don't know how we're going to do this. We're going to ask one of my favorite flower shops here in town, Tucson Saves Flowers, and see if we're able to decorate our wagon in a very colorful way with live flowers and that kind of Rose Bowl tradition.
Right.
Don't know. It's going to be a challenge because you can't use staple gun.
Right.
Because you can't ruin this wagon at all, but there are ways.
Yes, there are.
And a variety of wagons, a variety of ways they decorate them. There's live music on some of the on the wagons, and of course there's some marching bands as well.
There are. I mean, they're a necessity in any parade.
Absolutely. You got to have music, and there's separation a little bit from the horses.
Yes.
And the wagons and the bands, but boy, I'm really looking forward to this, and it's 100th anniversary, and we have one more segment, and we'll give you all the details on how you can learn more about the 100th anniversary of the Tucson Rodeo Parade, and then, of course, when you're done with the parade, head on over to the Wagon History Museum. Let's Jump in Tucson, and I'm Tom Moulton, your host. Well, we're back, and it's Jump in Tucson on KVOI, 10:30 a.m., and I got so wrapped up in the history and the excitement of the 100th anniversary, I forgot to mention who makes this show possible, and that's Visit Tucson, our friends from Visit Tucson. And they're a sponsor of the parade, and they get very involved in pretty much everything that goes on here in the community when it involves bringing folks from out of town. And there are some tourists, though, that come in and to enjoy this parade, isn't there, Russ?
And there is. We have people that call in every year, some from as far away as Canada, to get tickets for the parade.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, being the only motorized parade, and let's use North America.
Okay.
Because probably is. And because I haven't heard of Canadian, you know, there are horses in Canada, but not like they don't have the Old West.
They do have the world's largest rodeo.
Yes, they do. Calgary, right?
Yes
they do. Yeah. So we can't forget about that. But but generally, they didn't have the Western heritage that we have. And I think it was us in Australia that pretty much enjoyed that era,
right?
With horses and gunfighters and, you know, all those kinds of things that lawmen, you know, historical lawmen, where they wrote books, stories, right, about. Some were legends, some were true. But keeping the tradition of the wagon and the horses here alive for pretty soon, for 100 years, that's pretty amazing. And we did just briefly mention that the Tucson Rodeo as well as celebrating its 100th anniversary. So it's really a big celebration. And we'll have some of the committee members from the Tucson Rodeo Parade here at the radio station. We're not quite sure if it's next weekend or the weekend after that, but we do know that they're coming, and they'll get a chance to talk about all the activities that they're doing as well. Now, we had mentioned that the date of the Tucson Rodeo Parade
February 20th.
And all the kids are out of school. I mean, this is K through 12. They're all out.
It is.
Does the U of A celebrate this too as well?
I don't think U of A is out, but they do participate in it.
Well, for all those professors and new administrators that are listening, give them a day off for the reveal parade. You're only 100 years old once. But you want to be able to go ahead and get these tickets. So let's talk a little bit more about where these bleachers are and where you can get them again.
Okay, so our bleachers are located on Drexel, just east of 12th Avenue on the north side of the street, right across from the TV cameras. KOLD and Telemundo will be there broadcasting. The tickets you can purchase at www.TucsonRodeoParade.org. They are $10 for children, $15 for adults.
And there's only 1,200 seats, as you mentioned.
Approximately, yes.
And that's down from when you had the other parade route. So they're going fast. I mean, this is where you want to sit. You're comfortable. You have an announcer there that talks about every float that goes by or every wagon that goes by. We don't want to call them floats.
Yeah, there's a script for everybody that goes by. Yeah. You get to hear them.
That's right. And we have a script. You get to learn a little bit about who we are and who we serve, and as well as the over 300. Wait.
No, that was the original.
Okay,
parade.
That was the original.
We have four divisions. We run about 40 entries in each division, 30 to 40 entries in each division.
Okay, so if you do the math, it's 160.
Yes.
Wagons.
That's wagons and horseback and
right
bands.
And it still lasts a little over an hour or about an hour? Or
our goal is to make it last about 2 hours.
Two hours, okay.
Obviously, with our TV time, that makes it more of an interesting two-hour period on KOLD and Telemundo.
Starts at 9 o'clock.
Yes.
And parking. We got just about 20 seconds or so. Parking.
There is paid parking next to the grandstands. There will also be parking over off of Drexel, which is free off of Drexel 6th, and there's a couple side streets over you can park on. Otherwise, Nogales Highway has a variety of places you can park.
And if you're in the parade, it's a little earlier than that.
Yeah, the streets do close down beginning at 6:30 a.m. They start depending on the area of the parade, but it will all be shut down by 8:30.
I've been known to get there with my blanket and and somebody has a knock on the door. The wagon's coming.
We do have overnighters. We have the tailgaters that show up 2 days in advance.
I noticed that in some areas where they're actually literally pulling up their vehicle and sleeping in the car to get that prime place to see the parade. Because the parade is very visible from many, many parts on the street, but there are some really special locations that families have picked out, and they're going to be there no matter what.
There are. The second year, I'm sure there's new areas coming for people as they figure it out.
Well, thank you, Russ, for being with us. A Tucson Rodeo Parade taking place on February 20th. Starts at 9 o'clock.
9 a.m.
But there's a pre-show at 8, and then at 8:45, there's this one car for every
decade.
Every decade. And you don't want to miss that. That starts about 8:45. So get seated, be comfortable. I don't know if we encourage people to come overnight, but if you want that spot, it's there.
If you do come overnight, there is a lot on the west side of the grandstands you can park in.
Okay, that's right. I forgot about that. Well, we're happy to have you. So glad you were here. We look forward to the parade. Tucson, you know, it's one of a kind. This is Jump in Tucson. Thanks to Visit Tucson. And we'll be back next Thursday. Dr. Ackerley will be here tomorrow morning with his special show. And thank you for listening, and we'll see you next Thursday.